at this time, you're very busy, a lot of things going on, and I consider it a real pleasure being here to be a part of what is going on in this church and in the ministries that it has, and I hope to be a blessing to you. That's my reason for coming. I was a pastor for 25 years, and I've always been a backward guy, I guess, because most guys go into evangelism, and then when they get too old, they get a church, and then they settle down and being a pastor. I got to be a pastor, and at 80 years old, God called me into evangelism. So for the last 4 years, I've been doing that. I think I got about 2 more years left. So maybe I'll come back next year, and you'll catch the tail end of what God's called me to do. I'm certainly glad to be here, and it's an appropriate thing that God laid on my heart long before I came here. I was going to make this the first message, and I didn't know I'd be preaching on Wednesday night. I wasn't sure about what I was going to do. I thought maybe I'd be preaching Sunday and then the following Wednesday, but I came in on a Tuesday, and Brother Mike allowed me to preach tonight. I'm going to preach on prayer and how important it is in the Christian life, and the importance of it, and how it should be administered. Just a few particulars related to the message before I give you the text. I'd like to say something I wrote down this afternoon. Prayer is as important to the individual as it is to the outcome of the prayer. Even more so, the outcome of prayer may not be fulfilled according to the supplication, but the interaction with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man is the communion of fellowship that is the blessings of prayer. You blessed in prayer whether or not you get your petitions answered or not. Amen? So if you have your, you don't have to go there. That's not the text. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In Luke 8:18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Indicating that if you don't pray, you're going to faint. Not faint in you're losing consciousness, but you'll faint in the administration of your calling as a Christian. You have a calling. Every Christian has a call upon him to do something in particular, one thing in general, and that is to praise God and give glory to his Son, Jesus Christ. We're to pray, always to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean to say pray repetitiously. It just means don't quit praying. It doesn't mean say an Our Father and Hail Mary 10 times like some of you might have done. But there's a prayer that they say the act of contrition. It's not a bad prayer. It's a genuinely honest prayer if it's prayed in honest. If you have your Bible, maybe we'll get to it tonight. I don't want to keep you that much longer. I know that some of you are working, and it's late already. I mean that when I say I'm going to do it be as quickly as I can and still get the point across in order to be a minister to you. Amen? You came to be ministered unto, and that's what I plan on doing with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 22, and we'll begin in verse 39, and we'll read through 44 and then jump to 47. Verse 39, and he came out. We're talking about Jesus Christ, and he came out and went, as was his wont, meaning his habit. That's what that means. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him, and he was at the place. He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were drops of blood falling down from the ground to the ground. In verse 17 it says, "And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him." There's about four or five things I'd like to touch on in this prayer. Jesus Christ had a, I'd like to preach to you on the habit of prayer, the place where prayer should be conducted, the purpose of prayer, the strength of prayer, the conditionings that promote agonizing prayer, and finally, when you do pray, the devil will show up. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you this evening for the privilege of preaching. Thank you that Brother Pat and Brother Mike have given me the opportunity to exercise the office under which you've called me to. And I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost of God would fill me with the Holy Ghost and that I might say those things that are expedient to those that hear it, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. First thing I'd like to say about our text is that we see that the Lord had a habit of praying. The habit of praying is like any other habit. It's repetition. I remember years and years ago. Actually, it's about 60 years ago. I took a course by Dale Carnegie. It was called Public Speaking. We used to joke about it. It was how to win friends and influence other people. And he said, repetition, association, and exaggeration was the way to remember something. Well, we see that the Lord had a habit of praying, and a habit is like anything else. You have to do it constantly in order to get a habit of doing it. We ought to have a habit of praying. It ought to be a lifestyle for a Christian. There's a saying, sow a thought and reap an action, sow an action and reap a habit, sow a habit and reap a lifestyle. If you learn to pray continuously and learn to pray fervently, you have a habit of praying. Prayer is the interaction of two spirits, yours and God's. No matter what the outcome might be, the blessing is that you're in communion with God. The apostles asked the Lord to teach them how to pray, and he did. But prayer ought to be a lifestyle in your life. Prayer ought to be a way of life, a time spent, especially in times of discouragement, moments of aspiration, success, and failure. You ought to find time to pray. Christians, pray. That's a privilege given to you that no one else has. People all over the world have a habit of praying. When you pray, they say, "Our Father who art in heaven." The truth of the matter is, nobody other than a person that's born again can actually say, "Our Father, Our Father." Nobody. Only you can say, "Our Father." An unsaved man can't pray, "Our Father." Only you can pray that prayer. It's a privilege given to you as a child of God. You ought to exercise. That's a privilege that you can beseech God on behalf of some things that you consider to be important in your life, no matter what they are, to interact with God in prayer. It doesn't have to be verbal. Prayer is not always verbal. Your spirit ought to be praying constantly. I try never to be absent from prayer. Before I came here, I was praying. When I was walking here, I was praying. When I was sitting there, I was praying. Communing with God, not in verbal conversation, but communicating in my spirit with God that he would do something for you and I so that we, through the abundant grace, might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. That's why we like a lot of people to come to church, not because we want to see numbers, but because the more people you have, the more it redounds to the glory of God. The more people you got praying, the more probability you have of success. Why? Because God wants to see how important the matter is. You pray for your Uncle John to get saved. You kneel down one night and you say, "Oh God, my Uncle John, he sure needs to be saved, Lord." And God doesn't hear from you in the next 6 months. You know what God's interested in? He's interested in what you're interested in. And if you don't have any kind of repetitious prayer, he's not going to be interested in it at all because he knows you're not really interested. Pray, Christian. At least let God know that you know that he's God and he hears prayer. You're privileged to have that. I'll tell you something about praying. Children learn to pray from their parents. There was a guy called Lester Roloff. You know what Lester Roloff said years ago? He was a great preacher, a great ministry. He had probably the greatest ministry in my lifetime dealing with children and unfortunate girls and boys. He had a home in Texas. He said, the family that prays together stays together. That's a great truth. You ought to exhibit prayer in your home. Listen, if your child doesn't see you praying, why should you think he should pray? I came out of a subculture all my life. You know, my mother used to say, Andrew, don't smoke, and she smoked. Don't drink, Andrew, and she drank. Don't stay out late, and she always stayed out late. You know, there's a saying, I can't hear what you're saying because what you're doing speaks so loudly. Remember that about your children. Why should you think they'd grow up to be prayer warriors when you don't pray? I tell you something, they learn to pray, and they learn to pray what they should pray about. When you start praying about missionaries and God and helping them and healing so-and-so and doing something for the church, and forget about praying for yourself. Listen, you pray for somebody else and God will take care of your needs. I've learned from the circumstances of life that certain conditions compel a person to pray. I was telling Brother Mike today about the experience I had about 10 years ago. I went to Africa. I got arrested for passing out gospel tracts. Me and a friend of mine, by the name of Paul Garcia, and we were thrown in jail, and they charged us. We had to go to court, and we were given out a tract called Allah Had No Son, which was a dumb thing to do back in a Muslim country. Jack Chick wrote the tract. I sent word to Jack Chick, next time I go to Africa, you come with me, you give it out. I'm certainly not going to give that tract. That's a dumb, listen. You got to use wisdom when you're doing things for God. Don't be so foolish and take the macho attitude that you're going to run into a condition that warrants wisdom rather than strength. I've learned that certain circumstances do. We were arrested, and the Muslim had to be transported around from our compound to the court in a flatbed truck with military personnel all around us. If they could have got their hands on us, they would have killed us. The point I'm making about that, you know what I learned out of that experience? How to pray. When they arrested us and they were determined to get hold of us and kill us, I learned to pray. I mean, I really not only learned to pray, I learned to pray more earnestly. You know, a certain condition in your life that will cause you to pray, but don't wait until the circumstances get so pronounced that you know you're compelled to pray. You know, they say an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Pray before it happens, amen? Pray before your children get bad. Pray for you before you get COVID-19. Pray that you don't get it. Don't wait. You know, Dr. Ruckman tells a story about making a hospital call, and the wife of the individual that was in a hospital came to Dr. Ruckman after he prayed for the man, and she asked, well, Dr. Ruckman, what do you think? And he says, I think we need to pray for him. And she said, has it come to that? Hello? You should have been praying long before that, amen? People don't pray. God's people don't pray. Well, there's several reasons why they don't pray. They don't pray because they have a guilty conscience, some of them. The Bible says in Psalms, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, seeing thou hatest instructions and castest my words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, thou consentest with him. You know what God says in that verse in Psalms? He's saying, you're going to come to me and ask things of me when you take my Bible, my covenant, and you throw it behind your back. It's like I don't have any use for it. And now because you're in a situation, you're going to call on me. You know, the truth of the matter is, people don't pray because of they have a bad conscience, but God still, in his goodness, in his honesty, in his love for you and I, will still answer a condition like that. People don't pray because they have a bad conscience. People don't pray because they don't believe in prayer. They don't believe that God hears them, or God is able, or God loves them. Listen, people don't pray. Listen, you mean to tell me, since I'm assuming that some of you don't pray, I'm assuming some of you do pray. This is for you that don't pray. You mean to tell me that you know that there is a God in heaven. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. There is nothing beyond his capacity, and he has already expressed his love for you, and you're not going to call on that person to help you in certain situations? How dumb can you get? You know what love is? Love is the execution of conduct toward an object that is in the best interest of the object at the expense of the lover. You got to get that. The execution of conduct toward an object that is in the best interest of the object. The next time you scream at your wife or scream at your children, that isn't the demonstration of love. You better figure out what love is and do it. You mean to tell me you know that God loves you and you don't call on him? Well, man, I am... without sounding like I'm super spiritual, I'm never without communication with God. Mainly because I led such a bad life, the devil deals with me night and day. God hears prayer, and he wants to hear from you. I'll tell you something else about prayer. If you don't learn to pray, I guarantee you, God will create conditions in your life that will force you to pray. In our text, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. Amen? I don't know what he was praying in the first part of his prayer, but later on in our text it says he prayed the more earnestly. Listen, Jesus Christ did not want to go to the cross. I can just imagine that conversation. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Listen, Jesus Christ could have said, come on home, son. They ain't worth it. And it would have been all right with the Father. He didn't have to go to the cross. But you know what his conversation probably was in answer? Son, you can come on up, and no doubt about it. But Mike Veach will never get saved. Because there'll never be any blood shed for him. And Jesus Christ thought about it and said, well, I guess I'll go to the cross for him, and I'll shed my blood for him. You mean to tell me that's somebody you don't want to stay in communication with? That's a friend? David, when he was in trouble with because of Bathsheba, confessed his sin, and the Bible says that he confessed it, and that was the end of it. Listen. You bring your petitions to the Lord, but there's things on your heart that you need to bring to God that he knows all about. There's things that he's told you about that you've just put on a back burner that you need to get done in your life, whether it's things that you do or don't do. You need to get in touch with God. Prayer is an important aspect of your Christian life. If you're not experiencing the power of prayer and the pleasure of prayer, communing in spirit with the Almighty God that made everything, you're missing out on your Christianity. I don't know what you consider to be important in your Christian life, but if you're not having that kind of communion with God, you're missing out on a very important aspect of living in this life. Why? It's worthless. It's worthless. If God would... For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Suppose God said, well, we're going to make all the women beautiful, all the men handsome, and everybody is going to have a lot of money. That's what everybody wants. All girls want to be pretty. All men want to be strong and wealthy. And everybody died and went to hell. What good would that be? You know what love has to have? Love also has to have intelligence. It has to meet the immediate need of the object. And your immediate need was that his son should die for you. You know, when God said he loves you, he kind of put himself in the corner. Did you know that? He backed himself in the corner because when he said he loved you, he was compelled to do what was needed initially for you, the thing that he loved. And the thing that was initially needed in your life was salvation. The blessings of God come later. The Bible says Jesus withdrew from them a stone's cast and kneeled down. You know, and it was a private place. Now, every one of you guys know. And when Brother Pat, when Brother Mike calls on you to pray, and you got to stand up and pray, the first thing you're thinking about, oh, God, I got to pray. You know why? You're thinking about things around you. You really are. Everybody does it. It happens to everybody. You're giving thought to it. And now you got to construct a prayer, and it doesn't come out the way you want. You sit down and say, gee, I made a fool out of myself. That's common. That's why it's so important for you to find a place a stone's throw away from everybody, everything, and get in communion with God. I mean, in a very personal manner. And having it out with God if there's something on your heart. Have you ever argued with God? I don't like that. I'm telling you, Lord, I just don't like the way it's going down. I can't understand why this and that isn't the way I think it ought to be. You stay there long enough and he'll convince you why he's right and you're wrong. But you have to be honest in prayer. You can't construct it as a means of verbal intelligence. It has to come from the depths of your spirit, your heart, what they say the heart, which is the seat of your emotions. That's what the heart is. It's not this thing. It's the seat of your emotions. It has to come from the very depth of your spirit, something that has fermented inside of you that can't help itself but come out and say the things that need to be said, no matter what they are. God appreciates honesty. You have to learn to be honest with God. If you got an argument with him, bring it to him. He wants to hear about it. God wants to hear from you. He's not, Revelation 20 verse 3, I think, or 3:20, I'm not sure. He's knocking on the door of your heart, the Bible says. He knocks. You know, I wonder about that verse, and I'm thinking, why in the world would God humble himself and condescend to a man of my estate and want my fellowship? What can I contribute to God in my conversation? Nothing. But he stands at the door and he knocks, and we don't open it up. He continuously knocks, and we don't open it up. You know what that's like? It's like a father that tells his son, son, how about today? Let's go fishing. And son says, I'd like to, Dad, but I got so many things to do. We'll get together, okay? That's what that sounds like to God when he knocks on the door. Let me in. Not right now, Lord. I got so much to do. You know how things are. I'm just so busy, the job and all that stuff. And okay, son, I understand. He understands. He understands that you really don't want his fellowship. But he knocks anyway. There's nothing about Revelation that says he withdraws himself. He constantly knocks. You know the picture I saw about that? That knocking at the door, it's an artist's concept of what he thought it was like. It had a picture of Jesus Christ standing at that door, knocking on the door. And a peculiar thing about the door, there was only a doorknob on the inside. There was no doorknob on the outside. He couldn't let himself in. He doesn't want to force himself. God is a real gentleman. He don't want to force himself on you. He wants you to open the door and let him in. You know, like you do with any friend. Oh, how you doing, pal? Come on in. Sit down. He'd appreciate it if you told him that once or twice in your lifetime. There's no set time to pray. I pray early in the morning. Psalm 63:1 says, early will I seek thee, O Lord. I get up early in the morning, I go upstairs, get my coffee, and I read a little bit, and I study, and I'm good till about 10 o'clock. And the world, I think the devil gets up at 10:30. Because I'm dead. I'm done for after 10 o'clock. The world gets up and I'm finished. Now I either dig a ditch or do something physical because I sure can't read or study anymore. So there's a time when you should get along with the Lord. But there's no set time. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will glorify thee. Call upon me in the day of trouble and thou shalt glorify me. I will answer and thou shalt glorify me. God wants to hear from you. What father doesn't want to hear from his son? Daddy, would you help me with this thing? I need a few bucks and get this done. He wouldn't hesitate to give. Any father that loved his son wouldn't hesitate to give it to him. He need to call upon the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And he wants to do it for you. Why? It glorifies him. It unifies the relationship that you have with God. You never call upon God. You don't get any answer. You know why you don't get any answered prayer? You don't pray. How are you going to get any answered prayers if you don't pray? God would love to answer a few prayers just to get a relationship with you going. Your relationship exists based upon what he done for you at Calvary's cross. You're his child. Now are we the sons of God, but it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we see him, we shall be like he is. But in the meantime, I'm not like him. In the meantime, I want to be like him. In the meantime, I press towards the mark for the high calling of God. And pressing towards the mark is finding out something about God in prayer that I don't know before, that I didn't know before, and that is he answers prayer. But you got to call upon him. Pray. Pray early in prayer, early in temptation. Don't wait until what James says. There's nothing wrong with temptation, but when temptation, when lust is conceived, it turns into sin. When sin is finished, it kills. Sin kills. Sin kills families. Sin, that's what it kills. Sin kills family. Sin kills relationships. Sin kills the church. Remember that. You need to get it cleaned up. I mean, you say, let me tell you something, folks. Personally, I am a holiness preacher. I preach holiness. You can be. Don't give me that you have to sin. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common. And God will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. And will with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You know why people sin? Because they want to. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourself, to him you are servant. Remember that the next time you do something contrary to the, that is not congruent with the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8:1 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that Romans 8:1? Yep, I think it is. Quote Romans 8:1. Start it off. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The implication is that there is condemnation. Condemnation is not necessarily eternal. Condemnation can be eternal if you're not born again. But that's written to Christians. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Meaning that if you don't walk after the Spirit, you're going to have trouble in your life. You can be holy. God said, be holy as I am holy. He wouldn't ask you to be something that you can't be. Listen, you can get holy tonight. Just come here or in your seat or at home. Lay it all out, boy. I mean, lay it all out. Not only in confession, but in commitment. That's two kinds of sins. Sins of commitment and sins of omission. We sin a lot of times because not doing what God laid on our hearts to do. Have you ever walked past somebody and God said, I want you to give a gospel shout, and you said, well, I just don't feel like it. You know, lack of prayer, you know what it is? It's a sin not to pray. Samuel said to the nation of Israel when he was getting ready to retire, he said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. God lays somebody in your heart, you don't pray for them, it's a sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Don't wait to pray. Pray to avoid the necessary consequences of sin. I tell you, somebody else that learned to pray, Jonah. Jonah was so arrogant, Jonah didn't even, you know what Jonah said? Jonah said, the trouble you're having in life, I'm paraphrasing. The trouble you're having in life is because of me. I'm running from God. You got people in church that are running from God. You know your spiritual condition can affect other people. They're watching you. And Jonah was so arrogant, he said, now here's how you solve the problem. Throw me overboard. He was real cocky. You know, people, they're not afraid of death until it gets close. That's the atheist. You know there are no atheists in the world. They just pretend to be atheists. You know what an atheist is? He's a person that pretends to be independent, and he is above the average individual that needs a God in order to maintain in this life. Oh yeah? You take him up to the Empire State Building and kick him off, he'll call on God 5 times before he hits the ground. There are no atheists. Everybody has a plan of salvation. Did you know that? Even the atheist, you know what his is? No judgment, no God. That's his plan of salvation. Don't wait until prayer is needed. Pray now. Not so much that it's a necessity, or not so much that it's because of certain people that are sick and need salvation, but pray for the communion that you have with God. I mean, you like fellowship, don't you? I mean, we like fellowship. We're fellowshipping people, Christians are, especially Baptists. We love the fellowship. I can't think of anyone more pleasing to fellowship with than a person that loves me as much as God loves me. And that's what prayer is. It's a communion with you and God, your spirit and God's spirit. Pray. Pray. Learn to pray. Teach yourself how to pray. Prayer is essential for strength to run the race of Christianity with patience, the race that is set before you. Patience is the endurance of faith. Patience is the endurance of faith, and prayer is the evidence of faith. You get that? Let me read it again. God gave it to me. I don't have it committed to memory. Patience is the endurance of faith. Without patience, your faith will run out. Amen? Patience is the endurance of faith, and prayer is the evidence of both of those things. Prayer tells you that you have faith. Prayer confesses that you have the endurance to wait on God. It's important for you to pray. There shouldn't be a day that goes by. You should pray not just in the morning or the evening. During the day, speak to God as though you really know him. You claim to know him. You claim that he's your friend. You claim that he's a friend of yours. So act like it. Prayer will sustain you in discouragement. And indeed, these days, it's easier to get discouraged, especially with this COVID-19 stuff. Pray. I had COVID-19. You know what I did when I got it? I prayed. I wish I'd have prayed not to get it. But I was one of the ones that never wore a mask. You know, not me. COVID-19 is not going to get me. Wow. I'm walking in a spirit. I don't care if you're walking in a spirit or not. COVID-19 can't get you. I don't know what it's all about. But I know I caught it. And I tell you, when I caught it, I prayed about it. I wish I'd have prayed, God, I don't want to get it. But I didn't. I was just confident I wasn't going to get it. But listen, God will do some things in your life, folks. Learn to pray. And if you don't learn to pray, he's going to bring things in your life that will compel you to pray. Don't wait for that condition to come about. Today I was reminded of something I said, I preached last time I was here on the inalienable rights, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And this afternoon I was thinking about that, and I wrote something down about prayer. The inalienable rights for the Christian are found in prayer, and prayer is the strength for the spirit of life. Strength is the liberty from the spirit of oppression and sin. And prayer gives the answer for the pursuit of happiness. It's incumbent upon you and I to pray that we might find out what God wants in our lives. Specifically, it'd be a good thing for every one of us, even myself included. Listen, it took me a long time to find out. It took me 25 years as a pastor to find out I was supposed to be a missionary, an evangelist. But it's better late than never, amen? Find out what God wants of you specifically. There's some things he really wants generally, and that it is for you to glorify him. That's why you were born again. It wasn't to consume your position upon your own lust. You got born again to deliver you from eternal death unto eternal life, but also to glorify him because of the gift of God. What more can you brag about? I tell you the truth, if a man once said, the world has not yet seen what God could do with a man that's really sold out. I mean, really sold out. I guess if we got really sold out, they'd throw a blanket on us or a net or something, throw us in the crazy house. Because all we'd be doing is what the anointed cherubs are doing up in heaven. Listen, they got wars and rumors of war going on and all kinds of crazy things going on in this world. And you know, they got some beings up in heaven. You know what they do? Glory, 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 hallelujah to God Almighty. That's all they do 24 hours a day. Why? Because that's all that makes them happy. That's all that makes them happy. You know, if your salvation made you happy, you'd proclaim it more. If prayer was what made you happy, communing with God, you'd do it more. Brethren, pray. Pray for the fellowship that goes with communing with God. Pray for the salvation of souls, and pray for the deliverance of people from conditions. Pray for those things, but pray mostly because your petitions might not get answered. But the fact that you pray brings you in communion with God, and that in itself is enough for you to pray on a regular basis. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of prayer. We're the only ones that can say, Abba, Father. No one else can say that. And you